We're holding on page Samach Zayin in Shabbos, the second to last of the narrow lines, middle Reish Kuf. We were talking yesterday about the Gemara had started by saying that that punishments come to the world only because of Dayanim who are corrupt and not doing justice properly, and that led us into a whole discussion about that, about what they were doing in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, and the last thing we had was that how it is how goyim treat us reflects how we're acting. When you have Jews who are not acting properly, then we have goyim who are harassing us. When the Jews who are acting that way do tshuva, then the goyim also leave us alone. One thing is, we mentioned in that connection yesterday the Yehiri. Rashi mentions these are people, for example, who dress and keep their hair grown like the way the goyim do, and therefore that we said that then you have in return for that you have the angushi, the goyim who hate us and persecute us. There's a famous expression on that I don't remember where it comes from, that says that if we don't do kiddush, then the goyim will do havdalah. So if we don't act in a way as an am kaddish, then the goyim will separate us from them. Anyway. So continuing on that topic, the Gemara says, "Amar Rab Melai Meshum Rab Eliezer Rab Shimon." My dichtiv, it doesn't mean a pasuk. In context, this pasuk is talking about the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar. But the Gemara is going to darshin in that it's talking about something else. Shavar Hashem Matei V'Shoyim. Hashem has broken the staff of the wicked. Shevet Moshlim, the stick or the club of the rulers. So Marsha points out that since the previous pasuk introduces this as a mashal, that when Bavel is finally defeated, then the Jewish people and all the other nations that suffered under their yoke are going to say the following mashal. So therefore, we have to understand that Bavel is only a mashal for what we're dealing with in the Gemara. Again, similar idea, being in other words that when we are acting the way we're supposed to, then the goyim like Bavel and then that kind have no power, and vice versa. So Shavar Hashem Matei Rishoyim. Hashem has broken the stick of the Rishoyim. Elo Adayonim Shenasu Makel L'Chazaneihem. That refers to the Dayonim who become just a stick for their Shamoshim, for their bailiffs. So Rashi describes basically that you have a shliach based in the shoiter, or the chazan, as we're calling them over here, where chazan in Gemara terminology doesn't mean what we think of as a chazan who davens by the Yomer. It usually means something more like a shamash. Anyway, these shamoshim say that I'm not going to carry out the Beis Din's. They threaten to go on strike. I'm not going to carry out the Beis Din's order orders and call people to Beis Din or do whatever unless you pay me more. So therefore, the Dayanim therefore become basically just a rubber stamp for the Chazan. Like they're led around by them because of the fear of them striking. So therefore, those Dayanim are called Matei Rishoyim. So in other words, Marashah says that so these chazonim, these shamoshim, in other words, they themselves are rishoyim, and they harass the people and without a good reason, and the dayanim back them up where they're not supposed to. And shevet moshlim, when the pasuk continues, the club of the rulers, elo tamer chachamim shemishpachos hadayanim, this refers to the tamer chachamim in the families of the dayanim. So now what happens is, Rashi explains, because these Dayanim themselves are no goodniks, but they have Tamar Chachamim in their families who help support them and not support them financially, we don't mean, but support them like give them good press or whatever, and say, well, listen, I'm a Tamar Chacham, I know the Torah, and I can vouch for him that he's a good guy, when really he's not. So on the one hand, it means shevet, again, maloshin, a club. Marsha points out also shevet is maloshin, a family. So therefore, so the Talmud Chacham is from the same shevet, from the same family as the Dayan, and he's giving him good press and vouching for him or whatever way he shouldn't. So the Navi is saying that there's going to come a time when Hashem breaks the power of such people. Marzutra says a different thing, not just the Tamar Chachamim, the families of the Dayanim, but Eilu Tamar Chachamim, Shemalamdim Hilchus Tzibur, the Dayani Bur. We're talking about also Tamar Chachamim who teach the halachas of Tzibur, the halachas of how to lead the Tzibur to Dayanim who themselves are Bur, who are like we have in this week's Pirkei Avos, in Bur Yerechet, who are empty of knowledge of Torah. So in other words, again, what happens is the Talmud Chacham vouches for this guy that he'll make a good dayan, and I even taught him, so he knows his stuff. And really, the guy is a boor, and he, with the idea being, the Talmud Chacham, Rashi says, the Talmud Chacham figures to himself, okay, so whenever the dayan doesn't know, he'll ask me. So I'll be on speed dial for him, and that way, he'll always do the right thing. Meanwhile, what happens is eventually the dayan doesn't bother and just decides things on his own, and he's a boor, and so he ends up paskening wrongly. The Maharal says somewhat differently also. He says Hilchos Tzibur means that these Talmid Chachamim, they teach the Dayanim like the beginning of Hilchos Dayanus, like the beginning of Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat, which is the dinim of how the Dayanim themselves are supposed to behave, but they don't teach them the rest of Choshen Mishpat as to teach them the actual halachas of what they need to know in order to judge Dinei Torah, and they figure they can just judge that on their own with their own common sense, and common sense is not so common, and Das Balabais Hepech Das Torah and all that. Okay. Another thing, Omer Rabbi Lozer, Omer Rabbi Yezer ben Malai Meshumer Shlokish. My dichtiv, Pasuk says, and Yeshaya says, Ki kapeichem, criticizes the people, Ki kapeichem negoyalu badam, your palms of your hands are filthy with blood, ve'etzbo'iseichem ba'oven, your fingers are full of averus, sifseiseichem dibru shoker, your lips are speaking falsehood, l'shonchem avlo sege, and your tongues are expressing things that are wrong. So you have four expressions over here. So those refer to four different groups of people who are doing wrong. So ki kapeichem negoyalu badam, so that refers to the dayanim who judge wrongly. So Rashi explains they have their hands stuck out, the palms of their hands stuck out to take shochad. They end up perverting justice and judging wrongly. What happens is they take money away from people where they're not supposed to. And what happens is the Gemara tells us at the end of Bava Kamma that that's tantamount to taking the person in the Shama. The Gemara brings at the end of Bava Kamma from Psukim that when a dayan judges wrongly and then takes money away from somebody illegally, then Hashem considers it as if he took the person's life. So therefore, it can be described as that their hands are stained with blood. Maharsha points out also the word dum, we know besides meaning blood, also means money. Dummy means money. So therefore you also have that association that their hands are stained and filthy with money that they're taking inappropriately. That's by Seichem Ba'oven. When the pasuk continues, your fingers are full of averus. Eilu Sofrei HaDayanim, that refers to the scribes of the Dayanim. So they write, their job is to write shtaris. But here, where they're writing shtaris that are false, or that are dishonest, so they're using their fingers to do what's wrong. Sifsei Seichem Dibru Shoker, when the pasuk continues, your lips are speaking lies. Eilu Orchei HaDayanim, that refers to the lawyers. So we have in Pirkei Avos, Hatatz Atzma Chokei Orchei HaDayanim, the idea is that in a real Beis Din, you're not supposed to have lawyers. Each person will give his own claims, but sometimes you have people who will help them. The truth is, even in some Bati Dinim, you have such things. You have, they call it a Toyin Rabboni or something, where like, almost like a lawyer, but what they're doing is helping the person to put together their arguments in a coherent way. To a certain extent, it's valid on Pi Halacha, but they have to be careful not to lead them on. And that's why it says in Pirkei Avos, Haltatz Atzma Chokei HaDayanim, and here they're doing it, and they're teaching them to come up with false claims. So that's the Sifsei Seichem Dibru Shoker. Or L'shonchem Avla Sege, and when the last part of the pasuk continues, your tongues speak untruth, Eilu Balei Din, and that refers to the Balei Din themselves, who now go with their tongues and speak falsehoods. So therefore, so in other words, in short, the pasuk, the Navi is telling all those groups off and saying you're all contributing towards perversion of justice, and that's a problem, and there's going to be terrible consequences for it. Since we mentioned something that Rav Malai said, and you don't really have him in many other places in Shas, so the Gemara brings a couple of other things that he said. V'omer Rav Malai Mishum Rav Yitzchak Magdala, Miyom Shepirash Yosef Me'echav. By the way, Rav Yitzchak Magdala is an interesting name in itself. He also doesn't appear very often in Shas. You have one place, and you have besides over here, you have a place in Bava Metzia where he says a din involving coins stacked up like towers, asurim to Migdal. So some people want to say that's why he's called Rav Yitzchak Magdala after that din that he said involving towers. However, others say that no, he came from a place called Migdal, or Magdal, whatever. Anyway, so Rav Malai said in the name of Rav Yitzchak Magdala, Miyom Shepirash Yosef Me'echav, ever since Yosef went away from his brothers, ever since they sold him, Lloyd Tom Yayin, for all the years after that, until they had their reunion, he never even tasted the taste of wine. Dichtiv, Nizir Echav, we find when Yaakov ventures him, he says, and that these brachas should be on the head of the nazir of his brothers. So in the simple sense, it's called Nazir Echav because he was separated from his brothers all those years. But we're understanding also that he was a nazir in a certain sense. Marashal says, after all, look, I mean, we know a nazir is not allowed to shave his hair either. And we know, and we find when he left jail, when he was taken out of jail to meet Pare, so obviously he wasn't a full-fledged nazir, but he took on a certain aspect of nazirus. Why? Marashal says, because he realized that the whole prop, to begin with, what happened? So you have the brothers have gone to graze the sheep in Shechem, and that's when Yaakov sends him to them. And the Pasuk says, Vayelchu Echav Liras Es Tzorna Biyem B'Shechem, and Rashi points out on the Pasuk over there that there are dots on the word S, because it indicates that they weren't just going to pasture and to take care of the sheep, they were also going to graze themselves, to enjoy themselves with a nice meal. So Yosef realized that that was the flaw that led to this whole thing with them selling him. Therefore, now, just like you have, we find by a soita, a person sees a soita, then yazer atzmim in a yayin. So therefore, Yosef did the same kind of thing. From then on, he swore off wine. There's other points in it as well. One of them being that once Yosef ended up in Mitzrayim, and that's Erev HaSa'aretz, then he realized much more so he needs to keep himself under control. And again, just like with the soita, that way to do that would be to say to swear off wine. Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina says, not only Yosef, the other brothers also didn't taste wine all those years. Dichtiv, because you have at the end over there, when he has that whole banquet for them, at the end of Parashas Miketz, Vayishtu Vayishkiru Imoy, they drank and they became drunk with him. Now, what's the with him? Miklal, the Adhidna, they have a Shichrus, implying that up until then, all those years before that, they had not gotten drunk. So now Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina said that. What would Rabbi Malai say to that? He would say, Shichrus or Delayhava. No, all the Pasuk is saying that's the first time in all those years they got drunk. Shia Miyahava. But they did drink during all those years, unlike Yosef, who was saying swore off wine completely. Now, on one level, why would Yosef have drunk wine by that banquet? Because now he doesn't need to. He knows he has his brothers there. So therefore, there's no reason for him to continue with the swearing off wine. On the other hand, then you get to the question, well, then the brothers didn't know yet that they found Yosef. So why are they drinking? So Marashah says, okay, Emas HaMalchus. They were afraid of he's the prime minister, after all. If he's inviting them to drink, they really don't have much of a choice. So therefore, they had no choice but to be Matu Neder. In fact, Marashah says that could be a reason, according to that opinion. Still, then you say he's called Nazir Echav, the other ones are not, because his Nazirus was still on a higher level than theirs. They were just, they made a neder, basically, not to have wine. He was on a higher level. There's other points as well. There's other points as well why they drank now. Eitz Yosef explains that up until now, so they hadn't been drinking wine all these years out of regret. Once they sold Yosef, they regretted what they did. And that's why all these years later, they're still looking for him. So therefore, they did it more as a matter of tshuva. So they could be called Bale Tshuva, not so much Nazirim. Whereas Yosef, still not drinking wine all those years, can be called a Nazir for that purpose. I saw once an explanation also why the brothers drink on that day. Again, if we're saying they didn't drink all those years before, is so like this. Why did they sell Yosef in the first place? They were jealous of him. They were jealous of the special coat that he got from Yaakov and all the favoritism that he got. Now what happens is by that banquet, they say Yosef is giving extra portions to Binyamin, Vater of Masas Binyamin, Mimasas Kulam Chomish Yodis, and they realize they don't have any jealousy towards Binyamin. So now they realize, oh, we finally managed to overcome that bad midah that we had, and in celebration of that, we can drink wine, even though they didn't know that they were back together with Yosef yet. So no, not that they were drunk so much, Marsha is saying, but they had been eating and drinking and feasting. You have even afterwards, the Pasuk mentions, after they threw him into the pit, they sat down to eat bread. So a few psukim earlier, it says that they went liris es tzoyna v'yem b'shchem, and Rashi brings from the Medrash that they wouldn't just go to pasture and to feed the sheep, they also went to feed themselves and to enjoy themselves. So therefore, Marsha learns that there was drinking of wine involved as well. Okay. The Amr of Malai, and then Rav Malai says another thing. So what happens? Moshe is being told by Hashem at the snare to go take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. He's refusing and arguing with Hashem for a week over it. And finally, he says, Shlach Nabiyad Tishlach. And Hashem says, well, what do you think? Aaron's been the Navi all these years. But you'll see that when he sees you, he will see you. He'll be happy in his heart. He won't be jealous of you at all. Which means, Rashi says, up until that point, Aaron had been the head Navi of the Jewish people. There was, in fact, Rashi brings from a pasuk in Yechezkel, which is an Haftorah of Parshas Kedoshim, where Hashem says that when you Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, I warned you to stop worshiping Avodah Zarah. Who was it that warned them? Who was it that gave that told them that Nevuah? That was Aaron. So Aaron, up until that point, was the chief Navi of the Jewish people. Now, Hashem tells Moshe, you're going to be taking over that role. Nevertheless, even though Aaron is older and he's been established all these years, he's not going to be jealous of you. He's going to be happy in his heart. So in the schar of that, Zocha l'choshen ha-mishpat al-libay, for that he was zocha to have the choshen ha-mishpat on his heart. In other words, Marsha says that the fact is it didn't have to say the word belibay. It could have said b'rocha b'samach. Belibay is an extra word suggesting that he was happy with his full heart, not just that he pretended to be happy. So therefore he has the schus to wear the Urim v'Tumim on his heart. And the Maharal also makes the point that similar idea, because he had total simcha and it wasn't something that he's just pretending. Therefore, he has the choshen, which gives the ultimate true verdict, because he had the ultimate true feeling of joy in his heart. Further on, the Gemara talks about various dinim involving food and involving the preparation and the use and whatever of food on Shabbos. So eventually that leads the Gemara into, and it brings a number of statements from Rav Chista in that connection. And so now the Gemara brings a bunch of other statements of Rav Chista, which on the surface of them, they're just advice to people how to stretch their budgets, but we'll see there's more to it as well. So Amr Chista, Barbe Rab de Zabin Yarka, when a young Talmud Chacham buys vegetables, Lisbon Aricha, he should buy the long ones, because Kisha ki Kisha, one bundle is the same as another as far as the thickness. Rashi explains they always have a standard size piece of rope that they use to tie up the bundles of vegetables. Therefore, every bundle is the same thickness, but some are longer than others. But Urka Mamela, and the extra length you get for free. So in other words, on the surface, Rav Chista is just telling us a way for a young Talmud Chacham, after all, he's learning Torah full-time or close to full-time, so he doesn't have much time to earn a living, so he needs to stretch the little amount of money he has. So therefore, Rav Chista is giving with this, and with the next few pieces in the Gemara, advice on how he should stretch his budget. There's different other points that different Achronim make about deeper ideas behind this. The Maharal talks about that with this and the next one, he says the idea is that you have all the bundles carry the same name. They're all called a bundle of such and such vegetables. But the fact is there's a big difference between them in terms of the length. Therefore, that would be also a lesson for a Talmud Chacham. Don't just go by the names that people call things. Don't just go by the superficial thing that people think of something. Look more deeply into what it is, and you'll realize the difference between one thing and another. Like here, where there's a difference between one bundle and another, even though they're all called a bundle of a standard bundle of vegetables. Nachsam Sofer points out over here. He says very little of what we're going to have in this next piece of Gemara over here. Maushar comments on it very little, only a couple of pieces in the middle. So he says, he gives an explanation for each one of them. He says this one refers to the vegetables. He says refer to the midah of anivus. So what we're saying is you can have a young, because like vegetables are very lowly, they grow low to the ground, unlike like trees or whatever. So therefore, it represents the idea that the Talmud Chacham, when the young Talmud Chacham starts out in life, he should already have the quality of Anivus. That way, he'll be able to later on in life, he may be able to get a high position, to lead the Tzibur and still retain that Anivus. And therefore, so that's what we mean by he'll have the length. Unlike, for example, the Gemara says in other places where a person who lords it over people, that lording it over other people causes a person's life to be shortened, here where he's already developed that quality of anivus and keeps it with him even later in life, even the next stage of life, so he'll be able to have that length and have that anivus that he'll take along with him that he already developed earlier on. Then Rav Chisda says another one. Babe Rab Zabin Kanya. Similarly, when a young Talmid Chacham is buying a bundle of sticks that he's going to use for firewood, Lizban Aricha. Same thing. He should buy the longer ones. Tuna Kituna. For the same reason, a bundle of sticks is that all the bundles are the same thickness. But Ukum Amela, and the extra length you get for free. So here also the Maharal says it's a similar idea about making sure not just to look at superficially, but to look deeper into it. And he explains that you have one in connection with vegetables and another one in connection with sticks that grow on trees. The Chassam Sofer gives an explanation. We find, you know, in a Gemara in Tainus, the famous idea where it says over there, La'olam yehei adam rach tekana, a person should always be pliable and flexible like a reed rather than hard and unyielding like a cedar tree. So therefore, a reed, we're talking about over here, canning literally means reeds, represents the fact that a person has the ability to be patient with other people. So the same idea, if the Talmid Chacham cultivates that when he's young, later on he'll be able to still have that mila when he becomes a leader and still be able to have the extra length of years in his position and still have that mida that he developed when he was young. Then Rav Chisda says another thing. A young Talmid Chacham should not eat vegetables. It actually says specifically, we mean raw vegetables, and he gives several examples. There is actually a Gemara in Erevin that says that cooked vegetables actually are very good for him, and he should eat those. But here we're talking raw vegetables. So Mishum de Goru, the reason is because because it stimulates the appetite, meaning, in other words, what's going to happen now after eating vegetables? This is why we have, after all, we have vegetables for karpas. So now he's going to want to eat more of those. He's going to want to eat more afterwards. He's going to want to eat more bread, and he can't afford it. So therefore, he shouldn't be eating this kind of thing that'll stimulate his appetite. So again, you have different points about it. The vegetables over here can refer to, for example, learning philosophy, which rather than fatifing zichon Torah, it can refer to, I think the Chassam Sofer says that, or maybe the Maharal says, I don't remember, that it refers to learning agadta. Agadta is very fascinating, and you get deeply into it, like here. But nevertheless, the Talmid Chacham has to know that the main thing he needs to be focusing on is the meat and the bread, the actual solid substance of Torah. Of halacha, and similarly, the Amr of Chista. So Rav Chista says in this regard, I, when I was poor, I wouldn't eat vegetables. And when I was rich, I also didn't eat vegetables. But when I was poor, I didn't eat mishum de goru, again, because they stimulate the appetite. And then therefore, so I figured then in that case, I'm going to be in the same problem that I'm going to want to eat more and I can't afford it. Basirusi, when I was rich, I also didn't eat them damina, because I figured, heicha da ayo yarka, leo bistra bakavri, instead of where the same stomach, where vegetables are going in, the same place, meat and fish, which are more nutritious, might as well go in. So again, it means poshut on a poshut level, that this way, in other words, instead of wasting his stomach, his energy on eating vegetables, he should have to eat the more nutritious stuff. It refers also to learning Torah, and to learning the meat of Torah rather than just agadah, or rather than just Yad Yosef brings this idea from the Vilna Gaon that it refers to philosophy. So he's saying, when I was younger, I didn't want to bother learning philosophy because you could get very into it and then forget about Torah altogether. And when I became rich in Torah, then I figured, what do I need it for? Anything that I can learn from that, I can learn from the Torah itself. I don't need to waste my time on that. There's also an idea. Peshur Agadta brings a point. You have that vegetables are from Olamat Semeach, which are kind of more, they're easier to be mevarer. Meat and fish come from Chai are more difficult, especially meat. It says you need that's why the Gemara says in Psochim, Anama Oretz is also to eat meat, only a Talmid Chacham should, because only he can be mevarer it. So therefore, Rav Chisda is expressing the same idea. He's saying, why should I be eating vegetables? I can leave those to be mevarer to people on a lower level. I should work on the things that are more difficult to do avodas habirurim with, such as meat and fish. Next, the Amr of Chista, Barbe Rabdalin officially rifta, if a young Talmid Chacham does not have a lot of bread, loy livtsa bitsui, he should not be boitseya. So Rashi explains what it means is he shouldn't eat a little bit here and a little bit later. Like he shouldn't eat right now. He has a little bit of bread and eat it. And later on, he'll get a little more and he'll eat it. The problem is that he's never going to feel full and he's going to want to eat more. So therefore, he should wait until he has more of it together and eat it and eat it all together. And that way it'll do him good and it'll fill him up and he won't have the need for so much more. Marsha says also, Livtsa Bitsui can also mean that he shouldn't be the one to make the bracha hamotzi by his table, because the one who makes hamotzi is supposed to be giving out pieces, but ayin yofa, generously, and if he doesn't have a lot of bread, he's not going to be able to do that. V'omer Rav Chista, bar bei rab, v'len official rifta lo livtsa. And then Rav Chista also says that a bar bei rab, a young Talmid Chacham, who doesn't have a lot of bread, should not be beitseya. So it seems that this is basically the same thing as before. And in fact, Rashi and Marsha don't list it separately, implying that they understand that it's two parts of the same thing. My time, but like, oh, but buying the offer because he won't be able to give generously. So it amounts to the same thing. So according to Rashi's first explanation, these are two different things. One that he shouldn't eat the meal, the bread a little here, a little there, and the other that he should not be the one to be making the bracha motzi and then be motzi everybody else and give out pieces to everybody else. According to the second explanation, where according to Marsha's explanation, we're saying that it's really all the same thing. It's just the same thing expressed in two different ways. Okay, the Omer of Chista, in fact, in this connection, of Chista says, "Ano me'ikra loy havoy batzana." To begin with, when I was poor, I would never break the bread. I would never make the bracha motzi ad shadoy yodi b'kol imona until I put my hands in the entire container, the entire basket with bread, and I found there enough bread as I'm going to need for the whole meal. That's when I would make the bracha motzi, because then I know that I can give out ba'ayin yotha. Then Rav Chista continues, if a person is able to eat barley bread, and instead he eats wheat bread, then he's being over on Baal Tashkas because he's wasting money because he could have just as well eaten the barley bread. Now here, by the way, Rav Chista is not saying in the previous ones, he always said bar bei rav. Here he's not. He's just saying for everybody. So Marsha says the reason is because, look, here we're talking about Baal Tashkas, and Baal Tashkas doesn't just apply to young Talmid Chachamim. It applies to everybody, so therefore we have to say it more generally. There's another explanation. I think the Maharal says it in his explanations over here, that the vote is also that wheat bread is better for a Talmid Chacham to eat, because the Gemara mentions elsewhere it stimulates the brain better. So Talmid Chacham, Rav Chista is not talking about. By all means, let him eat wheat bread so that it'll help stimulate his brain to learn Torah better. But for other people, better let them be eating barley bread because they can live off it, and why should they waste the money on wheat bread? Similarly, the Omer Papa, and the Papa says in a similar vein, Haiman de Efshel Mishli Shichra, if a person is able to drink beer, the Shosi Chamra, and instead he spends extra money and drinks wine, over Mishum Baal Tashkas, then also he's over on Baal Tashkas. However, the Gemara says, Balav Milsihi, that really is not so, what Rabbi Papa said, and maybe also what Rav Chista said, Baal Tashkas de Gufa Odif. Baal Tashkas of the body is more significant, since wheat bread is healthier for you and wine is healthier for you. The fact that there's the extra expense, don't worry about it. That's the better thing for you. And Baal Tashkas doesn't apply. We had that similarly before when we had a few days ago when we had the Gemara about bloodletting, where Rabba said the same thing when they were breaking up a bench for him firewood afterwards. And Abaya asked him, isn't it Baal Tashkas? And again, the answer is when you're doing it in order to improve the body, to improve the health of the body, then it's not considered Baal Tashkas. Marsha mentions in this connection, by the way, that a papa had a bit of an ulterior motive over here in saying that's better to drink beer than wine, because the Gemara says in some other places that a papa was a brewer. He made his money from brewing beer. On the other hand, there is a very interesting explanation that says we had not that long ago, we had a line over there where Rabbi Yossi had said, my portion should be with those who are suspected and falsely and they don't have anything of it in them. And Rav Papa said that I was in that connection, that I was in that situation. So there is a vote on that. That's referring to our Gemara over here. When he said that it's better to drink beer because it's cheaper, and then people thought, like Marsha is saying over here, that he's just saying it because he has an agenda. Really, that was choshen. That was choshen b'kshed. And Rav Papa says, no, I was saying it not because I'm a brewer, but because I talk a whole that way. Okay. V'omer of Chista, bar bei rab de lesle mishva. If a young Talmid Chacham does not have oil, Now, Rashi explains that when they finished the meal, and keep in mind, in those times, they mostly ate the meal, they mostly ate food with their bare hands. So at the end of the meal, your hands would be all greasy. So before you wash mayim achronim, then you would smear them with oil to get rid of the grease, and then you would wash mayim achronim. So now, if a young Talmid Chacham does not have oil for that purpose, nimshi b'mayim d'charitzi, then let him wash with the stagnant water that you find in ponds. That water, you have like a algae grow on them, so you have like a they're slimy. So therefore, it has sort of the consistency of oil, and therefore he can use that to wash his hands instead. The Maharal makes a point over here. He says what Rav Chista wants to express by that is you should realize, he says, that everything Hashem created in the world has a purpose. You would wonder to yourself, when you have these pits with stagnant water and algae growing on them, what good are they doing? The answer to what did Hashem put them in the world for? So now you have the answer. Hashem put them so that when you have a person who's too poor to be able to afford oil, then he can use that. Then he can use that instead of oil to be able to wash his hands at the end of the meal. And he says similarly with a couple of the next things that we're going to say over here. Also, he says that they all express this idea that Hashem made everything in the world with a purpose, so that even a person who's poor and can't afford all the necessities of life, Hashem still provides them what they need for the purpose. Then the Chassam Sofer in his Chedushim mentions the idea that olive oil has to do with memory. The Gemara tells us in Hodias that when a person consumes olive oil, it helps their memory. So therefore, we're talking about if a Talmid Chacham, metaphorically, that Rav Chista is saying, if a Talmid Chacham does not have a good memory, then instead he should, charitzi is also Meloshon Chorutz, like very diligent. So in other words, he should go and try to be Mechadish Chedushim in Torah. And then the Chassam Sofer says an interesting idea. He says a lot of times, yeah, people come up with these very odd sounding chidushim, and on the face of it, what's the purpose of it? What good are they actually accomplishing? But one thing is, it helps their memory, because when you hear something unusual, it tends to stick more in your brain. So therefore, if you have a Talmid Chacham who doesn't have a good memory, then he can use this kind of trick, make up chidushim, even though they're not really very solidly based, but that'll help his memory, because that'll help him remember that idea that'll help him remember the underlying idea. The Amar of Chista, Barbe Rab de Zabin Umtsa. Another thing, if a young Talmid Chacham is buying meat, specifically Umtsa means raw meat primarily, but whatever. Lisbin Unka. The best thing is you should buy the neck, from the neck of the animal. The Isbe Tlosa Mine Bisra, because there are three different kinds of meat in it. Rashi says, because there's fat meat in the neck, there's lean meat. And there's the nerves or the tendons or whatever of the neck, which have a flavor of their own. So that way, he has one piece of meat with three different types of flavors in it. Again, the Maharal says this expresses the idea like this: you have the neck, most people don't bother buying, but Hashem made it that way. Dafka, so that way, a person who can't afford anything better will be able to buy it and have those three different kinds. And the Chassam Sofer says it hints at the idea that he should if a person doesn't have the amount of time to learn Torah properly, and he wants to buy umsa, he wants to have umet, strength in Torah, what he should be doing is learning Gemara Bavli. That the Gemara tells us elsewhere was bolul mi mikra mi mishnah mi talmud. It's blended of the three major parts of Torah: mikra, mishnah, and Gemara. So therefore, that way he'll have that's a so therefore he has a so to speak like one type of learning in which he has all the three types that he should be focusing on. V'amar Rav Chista, bar be rab de zabin kitunisa. When a young Talmid Chacham buys a shirt, Lisbon midnahar abba, he should buy specifically from one that's made out of linen from Nahar Abba, a place in Babel, where Rashi says the linen from there is good quality. V'nechavre kol tlosin yoimin, he should wash it once every 30 days. D'mefatyale treisiv yavchi shata, that way it will last him throughout all the 12 months of the year. V'ano arva, and I will be the orev, says Rav Chista, I will guarantee that he won't need to buy another shirt that whole year. And again, that way he can stretch his budget. So, The Chassam Sofer mentions over here the idea is that he should get together with good chaverim. Nahar Abba represents people who follow the ways of the others. And once every 30 days, you should be careful to do a cheshbon and nefesh, and his chaverim will tell him off, and then that way, when he comes to the end of the year, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, then he'll be clean. He'll have a clean garment over there. And I know arva because kol yisrael reivim zeh lazeh. My kitunisa. So why do we call that garment kitunisa? The reason is because it stands for kitana, a nice group. Because in other words, when a person wears a garment like that and it's nice and clean and good looking, then it makes him worthy. People respect him, and therefore he can sit among a group of great people. Next, a young Talmid Chacham should not sit on a new mat. So the mat is made out of grasses or reeds or things like that. Rashi explains the moisture in the material it's made out of will wear the clothing out faster. So therefore, a young Talmid Chacham should be careful not to sit on that, the machal yamaneh, because it will ruin his garments. The Chassam Sofer refers it to the idea that you have Talmid Chacham who hang out with Amei Haaretz and talk Dvarim B'Teilim with them. So therefore that ruins his kavod. Like this, people don't have the respect for him that they should have for Talmid Chacham anymore. A young Talmid Chacham should not send his clothes to his hostess, to wash for him. In other words, he should do his own laundry. It's not derech eretz. Otherwise, there might be something seen on it. There might be keri on the clothing. And then it'll be an embarrassment for him that she'll know that he became a baal keri. You have a related idea, by the way, that when you're a guest in someone's house, unless you're paying for your lodging or unless you brought your own sheets, then a couple is not supposed to have relations. There's a similar idea because then the host is going to be doing the laundry and there'll be a gnai over there. So here we're talking about a Talmid Chacham who's learning Torah out of town and boarding by a balabos and a balabusta. So he should do his own laundry rather than giving it to her. Okay. Now that Rav Chista has given a bunch of advice to young Talmid Chachamim and a few of them to regular people, now he continues with advice for his daughters. Rav Chista's daughters in particular, he had one daughter who first married Rami Bachama, and later on Rami Bachama passed away, who divorced her, and then she married Rav. So his daughters were great people in their own right. But Rav Chista gives them advice. He says, "Tevut tznian ba'apri gavreichu." You should be tznia stick in your husband's in the presence of your husband's. Don't eat bread together with your husbands, because you might eat a lot and then it'll be a gnai. Your husband will lose respect for you because he sees you overeating. Don't eat vegetables at night because it'll give you bad breath. Don't eat dates by night because that makes you loose and have diarrhea. Don't drink beer by night for the same reason. And don't go to the bathroom in the same place where your husbands do. Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains, so you have, since they didn't have bathrooms in those days, you'd go out to the fields and find a private area. So if you have a particular spot that your husbands regularly use, don't you use that spot as well? Because when he comes there, he's going to think of that you were there also, and it's going to make him feel disgusted the mental association of her being over there and going to the bathroom and her waste. It's going to give him a mental association that's going to make him not have the greatest affection for her that he should. And he continues, v'chikokoria, above inish, when you hear somebody calling by the door, asking to come in, loy temrun manu, don't say, beloshen zocher, who is he? That was the way they said it in Aramaic. Instead say, elamani, but say rather in the feminine form. In other words, assume by default that it's a woman, because it's more tzniastic that way, rather than even, you don't even know who it is at the door. It might well be a man, but nevertheless, still learn to talk in a more tzniastic way, where your default should be to talk about women rather than men, because the only man in your minds basically should be your husbands. And he can, the Gemara continues, Nokut Magunisim Chola, a thing where Rav Chista was holding a pearl in one hand. There's different explanations about it. And Yaakov didn't put it in over here. Rashi gives an explanation that he was giving them advice when they're having relations with their husbands, how to act in a way that will increase their husband's taiva for them. Rabbi Nachmanu gives a different explanation that he held a pearl in one hand and a seed which is worth next to nothing in his other hand. He showed them the pearl. Then they thought whatever he's holding in his other hand, keeping closed, must be much more valuable. We're really curious. And finally, he shows them that it's just a seed to show them. In other words, don't think that what you can't get is more valuable. Sometimes what you have in front of you is the most valuable thing. And don't go trying to look for something better. So these are all various pieces of advice that Rav Chista gave to his daughters. Yom Yom Mashiach HaGola, Yud Zion 7. The Friedrich Rebbe describes in a mimer that the fact that all the goyim were bottled to Shlomo, and that's why in his time there was peace and tranquility, is because really they were bottled to the gilui of Ode and Sof that shone in the world through Shlomo. And similarly, you have, the Rebbe continues, the Pasuk says that people were coming to him from all the nations to hear his Chochma. The same idea. It's not so much his Chochma that the real reason why they came is because they were drawn towards Elikus. So we find Mashiach, who's going to be a descendant of Shlomo, the Pasuk says on it about him, V'naharu elav kol ha-goyim, that all the goyim will stream towards him. The word V'naharu actually has two different meanings. It can mean Meloshin Nahar, they'll come to him like a river. It can also mean Meloshin Nahora, they'll be attracted to his light. So, but the real idea is why they're going to be attracted to him is because they're going to be attracted to Elikus. Continuing on halachas of business, of maso matan, if a person gives somebody else money to buy him something, karka or metalplin, and the shliach goes and buys and takes and instead he doesn't use your money, instead he uses his own money and buys the thing. So we talked about yesterday, for example, that if Reuven is on the verge of buying something and Shimon comes and buys it instead, he's called a rasha. So here, a similar thing, Reuven had sent Shimon, so Shimon uses his own money. Nevertheless, he's a ramai, so he's called a cheater. And if he used Reuven's money, then he'd be mechuyev to give it to him, even if he actually bought it for himself, because he used Reuven's money.